critical time. It really is. There's a lot of issues. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about them, what causes them, how we work to fix them, so to speak. And we have an election. Right now, it's the primary election season. So we're doing a lot of candidate interviews here, too, so you can make up your own mind, so you can be an informed voter. I think that's very critical, especially today, because, man, there's so much social media and so many areas, I think, for misdirection in campaigns. All right, so as we all know, Kurt Allmay in studio here today, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate on Voices of Montana. Welcome, Kurt Allmay. I'm going to shake his hand over here. How you doing, sir?
Doing fantastic, Tom. Good to be in here with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. You know, this is a good forum, I think, to come in because nobody is interpreting your words and then writing them down for somebody else to read. You know, you get to say what you get to say, and people get to hear that, for, you know, straight from the horse's mouth. Campaigning nowadays really needs more of that, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's been the best part of campaigning so far, is we've been out all over the state meeting people face-to-face, shaking hands, hearing about issues, looking people in the eye, not through social media, and talking about things that are important to everyone.
Give us the real story behind your entrance into this race, about how long you've been contemplating this, when, because obviously people are well, and there's been some criticism, and I think it's fair to criticize and peel into that a little bit as well. Steve Daines withdrew minutes before the election deadline, and you applied then. When did that all start? What was the genesis for that?
Yeah, that's right, Tom. So I was the United States Attorney for Montana, and have been working hard this last year, working on violent crime issues that I think are going to carry over importantly into this campaign. Yeah. And then the filing deadline was March 4th. And a few days before that, I got a call from Senator Daines saying he and Cindy would like to retire, but they didn't want to risk losing the seat or the Senate to the Democrats. So he said he would only step down if someone like me would step up, and asked me if I would. Boy, my wife and I had to do some praying, but we let him know that, because of how, you know, knowing how important this is to hold the seat, we said that if he did decide to withdraw, that we would be interested in stepping up. So then the next thing I heard, or the next time I heard from him, was the morning of the filing deadline. And he let me know that he indeed would withdraw if I would step up. And so I went down to the office and called Washington and resigned as United States Attorney. And then we entered the race. I think, as everyone knows, the senators come out and said the reason he waited until the last day to withdraw was to try to discourage John Tester and Steve Bullock from entering the race, as the Democrats have done in Alaska and Ohio and North Carolina. So now, with President Trump's endorsement, we are off and running hard, traveling the state and working to earn people's votes.
Yeah, congratulations on that, too. And I'm very glad for Senator Daines. That guy has worked super, super hard. And he's a Montanan too, you know, so he's got an opportunity now to enjoy some of that time, and I'm very thankful for him. What's been the reaction? All right. I mean, we talked about it here. There are some people that are kind of offended by it. Others go, I understand the criticalness of it. What's been the reaction so far?
Well, I think the reaction's been good. I don't spend a lot of time talking about why Senator Daines did what he did. That's a conversation for Senator Daines. Our focus has been entirely on going forward, because there are plenty of issues to talk about in this country, and especially in this state, as we head into the primary and then we head into a general election. So we spend a lot of our time talking about issues and what's affecting the state and how we go forward and how we make a difference.
And that's what we'll do here. Again, Kurt Allmay is in studio with us, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. It's AllmayForSenate.com. And to give some of your background, I mean, as you noted, twice serving as U.S. Attorney for District of Montana. I like your nonprofit work as well with the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Club. And is it the National Christian Association? And so you've been a nonprofit leader. And of course, born in Great Falls, raised in Miles City. You know, I'm not far off from where I graduated high school too, as well. All those tools, growing up in Montana, serving a business degree, University of Colorado Boulder, Harvard Law School, then right back to Montana. How do all those tools that you acquired or developed or had in those jobs make you ready for this job?
Boy, that's a great question, Tom. And I think you set the stage. You know, I've had the chance to live all over the state, work with people in all walks of life. you know, work in public service, work as a prosecutor, work in the nonprofit community. So hopefully we've had the opportunity to understand what's important to people. And, you know, what's important to A may not be as important to B or may affect them differently. And I think we're starting to get that kind of understanding, and that hopefully is going to allow us to represent all the people in Montana.
I appreciate that. So then what is important to people?
What we're hearing is making life more affordable for Montanans. We're hearing about making our community safer, and we're hearing about concerns about our way of life. And we don't want to lose the wonderful way of life that we have in Montana. But affordability is number one, Tom. And, you know, that's the thing. As a former budget director for the state, as a former director.
I missed that one. Yeah, right. Thank you.
Former director of the Department of Revenue. We know how to cut taxes and put money back in people's pockets. We know how to balance budgets. And that's certainly what I've done. You know, I had the opportunity to serve as Governor Martz's revenue director way back in the day, for those who remember Governor Martz. And there I spearheaded the largest income tax rate reduction in state's history. And then coming forward, I got the opportunity to work for Governor Gianforte as his first budget director during that first session. We were able to take Governor Bullock's budget and, with the help of the Republican legislature, take about $150 million out of that budget, deliver on about $60 million of annual tax reductions, and set the state up to be debt-free. All, of course, while balancing a budget.
I think those chops are going to serve you well in Washington, D.C., but it's kind of a different animal, isn't it? Because you've got to have the will in Congress to cut spending, and I don't see that, especially in today's electorate.
Or maybe any electorate back to World War II.
Maybe,
Tom.
Huh? Oh, my gosh. It does go that far back, doesn't it?
It has. And yeah. So we've had a lot of challenges controlling spending out there, and I'm not underestimating that challenge if I'm given the opportunity to go do it. But we have to do it. We have to control deficit spending. You know, deficit spending, the interest on the debt alone is either exceeded or close to exceeding the defense budget. Yeah. And think of the inflationary pressure that is putting on all of us. We talk about affordability in Montana. If we can't control inflation, we're not going to make things more affordable. And to do that, we have to control deficit spending.
What's the plan? How do you initiate? Or even, you know, put it on the table, begin the discussion is hard enough. Then carrying it through as well. What have you got? What do you see that we can accomplish?
Yeah, great question. So I don't think there's any easier way to cut spending than to roll up our sleeves and department by department, agency by agency, item by item, make the tough calls about what do we truly need as a country. It's no different than what families do with their own budgets and their checkbook every day. And just to give you, you know, one anecdote, Tom, when I started as the budget director for Governor Gianforte, we were in the Capitol before the legislative session started, and we were going through a closet and found an old Montana sign in big wooden letters. And I took the N and the O and I hauled them down to my office and I put them on the coffee table. So all through the legislative session, if legislators or others came in to talk about a new spending proposal, we started with the idea of no. And then maybe, you know, if it was needed and it was justified and we could get there, we would get there. But there's an unlimited need or unlimited wants out there for government spending, and we just can't pay for all of them.
There's a joke I'd love to develop about going through the closets in the Capitol, you know. But let's stay on this too, because of how critical I think it is. When you talk about affordability, I mean, I look at my grandfather's generation to my father's generation, they were on the rise. But after that, I think every succeeding generation, mine from my father's, my children from my generation, they are not prospering at that same level. And it puts us in a new place in this country, and I'd like to see the focus really be there for that.
Tom, I couldn't agree more. This question about deficit spending and controlling the debt is about our kids, and it's about our grandkids. Yeah. We are saddling our kids and our grandkids with a tremendous debt that is going to have to be repaid, and that's just irresponsible of us. We have got to control spending, bring that debt under control to give our kids and our grandkids the opportunity for the same opportunities we had, same American dream we had, if not better.
Yeah. Okay, so deficit spending is one, taxes are another. I mean, I throw on Social Security, Kurt, and we're with Kurt Allmay here. It's Allmay I'm going to write it down here. Allmay for Senate, it's ALMEforSenate.com for more information. The Well, I'm going to take this call then. I mean, we could spend a lot of time, I think, talking about finances, but there's a lot of critical issues out here as well. And I got somebody lined up. By the way, Kurt's only here till about 9:30. Okay, we're going to roll straight through. We'll take our break on the other side of that. And with that, we're going to take our first phone call here today. Good morning. Sarah, listening on the Mighty 790 KGHL in Billings. What's your question for Kurt Allmay?
Hi, Sarah from Billings here. Yeah, I just have a question. After Iraq, I'm worried about going to another endless war in Iran. And I guess I want to hear from our would-be senator, do you support putting boots on the ground there? And would you support requiring congressional input since you will be in the Senate?
Yeah, Sarah, thank you for that question. I know it's on everybody's mind right now. Let me just tee that issue up and then answer your question. You know, the particular situation with Iran, we all know that for nearly 50 years, Iran has sought to destroy this country. It's killed our citizens, killed our servicemen. It's proven it can't be contained by any means other than force. So I support President Trump's action to try to set back their nuclear program. I know none of us want to see that nation with nuclear weapons. Now, but pivoting to your question to boots on the ground, absolutely agree with you that we have to be sure that we never allow our sons and daughters out there to engage in forever wars again. We need to be sure that the president has sufficient flexibility to defend us, but Congress has to exercise its authority to be sure that that doesn't happen.
How do we accomplish then certain goals there? Sarah, thanks for that call. I have that same fear that, to really have a solid win in this, I feel there needs to be regime change. That's just an opinion, right? And maybe it should come from within. I know President Trump has said that. We're in again new territory. NATO is impacted here as well. Do you think this can be accomplished without boots on the ground, or and then How do we then have security going forward if we don't have regime change there?
Great question, Tom. And you know, to answer that well, I think all of us would want to have the access to the classified briefings that the president has. Having been U.S. attorney, I know that there's a lot more information out there that the president has access to that we don't. And to some degree, you know, we just need to trust our commander in chief to make these decisions. We have to support him in these negotiations. I think, you know, the objectives that have been articulated to be sure that Iran does not develop a nuclear weapon, first and foremost, and to be sure the president can negotiate the best arrangement for us to reopen the state, the Strait of Hormuz, are critical objectives, and we're just going to have to support him in those negotiations.
And I think this president brings a new sense of accountability, something that had waned in our country, tragically, in my mind, individually, and also as a corporate, government, our accountability levels need to be raised. You're someone who's highly involved in law enforcement, and thank you for that service. I do appreciate that. And our men and women in blue, they carry a lot on their shoulders, and that job needs support. And there have been, for my mind, the left has just attacked them for the very wrong reasons. How do we get that narrative turned around? And are we a safe country?
Again, great question, Tom. You know, that is another important reason why we want to go to Washington and serve the state, is to try to make our community safer. And to do that, we have got to support our law enforcement. It's been an unfortunate trend in this country over the last 10 years or so, really since Ferguson, where all of a sudden our law enforcement is being vilified sometimes for situations that occur. These people have a very tough job, as you point out. They're out on the street every day, dealing on the front line with violent criminals, all for the good purpose of keeping us safe. And they deserve our thanks and our support for that. And, you know, in order, and we need to give them our thanks and support also so that we can encourage the best and the brightest to go into that profession. Thankfully, that's still occurring, but we need to be sure that we continue to recruit good people and that we support them over there while they're in those jobs so that they stay and continue to protect us.
From your first service as district attorney, that was like, what year, 2012? 14?
Well, as U.S. attorney, was 2017 to 2020 during the president's first term.
Thank you very much. have things changed? I mean, since then we saw COVID. I think we've seen the attack on our law enforcement. I'm putting it that way anyway. Ratchet up since then. When you were serving, what was the mood then to then even 4 years later when they our law enforcement officers, suffered through, I think, this unnecessary criticism of them?
Yeah, and you know, how that played out was in 2017, we started to see meth sweep the state in Montana, and that was causing our violent crime rates to go up significantly. So our office, together with our state, you know, federal partners, state partners, local law enforcement partners, really pushed on violent crime and drug trafficking, because our violent crime is primarily caused by drug trafficking. Yeah. And we were able to push those violent crime rates down, start to bend the crime curve. Well, then COVID hit, and all over the country when COVID hit, crime rose all across the country, and violent crime rose all across the country. So now, coming back as United States Attorney last year, we were dealing with higher rates, but the approach is still the same. The approach works. If we target violent offenders and prioritize them for investigation and prosecution, and if we target the drug cartels, so we have drug trafficking organizations in Montana that if you do an investigation and you arrest someone here and you flip them and go upstream, 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 eventually you get to the cartels. And that's the approach that we're taking now, to rip those drug trafficking organizations out by their roots.
Yeah. And I've heard you say, and thank you for that, Kurt. And I've heard you say, as we were chatting earlier, that's one of the reasons why you're in the race. And one question I think is always good to ask is, you know, what brings you here to this point? And I kind of add to that, you know, what was your call to public service? Was it a mentor? Was it an incident? Was it something that your parents instilled in you? What is your call to public service, Kurt?
I think a lot of us in Montana would say the same thing. And that's when there's, you know, a need, we rise to the occasion. We try to step up. You know, I went to work for Judy Martz back in 2000 because we didn't have good paying jobs. And so many of my friends had to leave the state to find good work. So we were working on cutting tax rates and creating an environment where good paying jobs could come into the state. And that has happened. Going back in 2017, I left the Boys and Girls Ranch to go to the U.S. Attorney's Office and step up because of the meth crisis that was hitting us. 2020, I agreed to go work for Governor Gianforte because, you know, our budgets had grown significantly and we needed to work hard to try to restrain our state spending. So there's always a purpose, always a need. And, you know, I know it's not unique to me. I know there's people all across the state who step up when we have a need in the state.
Yeah, I can appreciate that as well. I mean, and I think that's where we talk here, that everyone has a certain amount of accountability toward that as well, towards service. At least that's what we hope in this country. We're developing characters like that. We'll take one more call here. We got about 6 minutes left, 5.5. Bill, listening in East Helena. Good morning, Bill. You're on the air with Republican U.S. Senate candidate Kurt Almay.
Well, thank you, Tom, and good morning to everybody. I also was born and raised in Miles City, and so Kurt, I appreciate you. We were after the announcement in the first part of March, a bunch of us down at the VFW were talking about it, and some people were upset about the decision not to, you know, the last minute thing, the whole politicking. And I said, I kind of used a track and field analogy. I said, look, this is not a sprint. It is not a marathon. It is a relay race. And you have been passed the baton, and take it and run, and more power to you, Kurt. We're all behind you. Thank you very much, Tom, and you guys have an excellent day.
Bill, thanks for that. That's reassuring as well, you know. And I want to add to that, too, because I think campaigning is different nowadays. Like I said when we started, the messaging, there's so much of it out there, and it's easy to get misdirected on it. How do you see through that? And this is kind of like your first federal race, statewide race, right? What's your path through today's campaign world?
Well, great question. And thank you, Bill, for that comment. Absolutely. That's the way we're viewing it. There are a lot of issues facing this country, and we're focusing on how we can try to step up and help. As far as the distraction and misdirection in the political world and in the media, and that we all try to sift through to try to understand facts and then try to figure out what the right policy is, I think the key is still one-on-one communication, which is why we are just out working hard, traveling the state, trying to meet with people whenever we can. In fact, we just did a loop to Miles City and Glendive and Glasgow and Scobie and Malta here in the last couple of days, and we're going to go out again here next week, and we're just going to keep getting out, shaking hands with people, you know, looking them in the eye, hearing unfiltered, Tom, as you said, unfiltered comments, unfiltered dialogue, and, you know, make our case to why we want to, why we can earn your vote and what issues are important to Montanans that we can take back to Washington.
I do appreciate the people of Montana being open to hearing that, you know, face-to-face conversations. Just got a few more minutes here, and you're welcome back a million times. You know, we got a, it's going to be a long campaign. Of course, the primary is June 2nd, and then we go to November 3rd, I think, for the general election or somewhere around there. It's a bit of a haul, right? I want to go back to your growing up in Great Falls. I want to go back to graduating in Custer County. And, you know, tell us a story, Kurt. Tell us a story from your childhood that makes us kind of understand, oh, I get why he's doing what he's doing.
Sure. You know, we talk about three values on this campaign, and I know we could talk about a lot more that are important to Montanans, but we talk about faith and we talk about hard work and we talk about service. And let me just focus on that middle one, hard work, because you bring up Miles City and graduating there, you know, in Miles City, when you're in high school boy, you know, in the spring, you go out and brand and you just, you don't get paid for it. You get a great meal and you get great company, but you go out and help because, you know, that's the service the community needs. That's what help our ranchers need. And they're so fantastic in supporting our communities that that's just what you do. And you go out and you work hard from, you know, morning till dusk branding and get a good meal and go at it again the next day. But that's the kind of service, that's the kind of hard work that's instilled in us in Montana. And like you and I were talking about off air before I jumped on, you know, I think in Montana, we still believe in the American dream. We still believe if we work hard, there's opportunity to succeed. And those of us who've grown up here still believe that. And I think that is an important hope for us to have and us to instill in our kids, because those opportunities still exist. And not just in Miles City, but they exist all across the state.
I can appreciate that from one who believes that, but who sees the attack on that hope and our identity. It can be discouraging in a lot of ways. How do you find the encouragement?
Oh, by traveling around. Oh, the trips that we've made already around the state and seeing a lot of old friends. And Dylan, we were down in Hamilton. I used to live in the Bitterroot, and then out in Miles City. You see the extraordinary things that people are doing, and it's inspiring. If you, you know, if you turn off the media, the national media, and you actually go out and see what people are doing face to face, it's still very impressive and very inspiring.
Did you get straight A's? Your dad was a teacher. Your mom was a teacher.
You know, I did, though, you know, I do have to tell people my dad was a principal at Pine Hill School in Miles City.
Oh, okay.
And I, of course, went to the public school, but, few times, you know, people have asked which school I really did graduate from, and I do clarify I was threatened with Pine Hills a few times, but I graduated from the public school.
Pine Hills, a correctional school, by the way, in Miles City. That's actually good. Don't you love the sense of humor that you run into on the campaign trail, too?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sometimes I'm creating the jokes myself without even knowing it.
Well, you visited a lot in eastern Montana. You were Miles City, you were Malta, you were Glasgow. What's the next week look like in terms of where you're going to be?
Well, we just have a full schedule, a lot of dinners, a lot of meetings all the way through June and November. So we're going to be, you know, we're going to be back in Helena. We're going to be in Townsend. We're going to be up in Great Falls. We're going to be up in the Flathead, in Eureka, up in Haver. Like I said, we've already covered, you know, we've been down to Dillon. We've been over to Hamilton and Roundup and Lewistown. We're just covering the whole state. And, you know, for the listeners out there, we're going to be coming out to your community. We'd really like to have a chance to sit down and talk to you. I hope you come out so we get a chance to meet and a chance to visit.
AllMayForSenate.com. That's Kurt Allmay, Republican candidate, U.S. Senate. You're welcome back here too, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. Travel safe. Good to see you too, Jack.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.